Don't worry, me Sheila.
Miss you, me out.
Today we have Sayadaw here. He will give the Dhamma talk.
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Hello, Jamma Chanda Jabali.
May all of you be well, happy, and peaceful.
Dine, Natao Nasadongunye.
Today is Tuesday. It's the 24th of January,
2023.
Today, Sayadaw will give a talk via Zoom, and today it's the 9th day of the retreat.
Today,
Sayadaw will talk about something that metta meditators should be careful of when they are cultivating metta. He will talk about the enemies of metta.
Metta deya bwa mya de ka ma metta ma yan du so da shi de.
When we practice metta meditation, there are or there can be enemies.
Loka ma lu da ri yan du shi de lo metta ma le yan du so da shi de.
As there are enemies out there in the world, there are also enemies in the practice of metta meditation.
Ari yan du a mimi a ko sin ye ang se sin ye ang ji lo dat de.
These enemies, they hurt or harm ourselves physically or mentally.
So yin bu sui ngo jwe mu ri phi ang le ji lo dat de.
Or they create worries and sufferings.
Si ba au sa pye pya ang le ji lo dat de.
Or they can destroy one's wealth or one's business.
Mimiye gondekago le pyesi aw pyi lo dan de.
Or they also can destroy our good reputation.
Nazo mimi atet ko daw de aw tat dan de.
Or they even can cause suffering to the point where we will die. Such persons who create such kinds of suffering, we call them enemies. And we can distinguish two kinds of enemies, a far enemy and a near enemy. And likewise, there are also enemies for metta meditators. And these enemies, they also can create suffering and worries to metta meditators. So these enemies, they can create suffering in a way that when metta has not yet arisen, that they prevent the arising of loving kindness, or when loving kindness has arisen in one's heart and mind, that this metta it disappears or is destroyed. And likewise, here we can also distinguish two kinds of enemies.
အဲ့ဒီနှမျိုးကနမတိတဏှာရာကနဲ့နမနိကဒေါသအကာတတို့ဖြစ်တယ
် So the first kind of these metta enemies is tanha raga which means craving and lust and the second kind of metta enemy is dosa and agata which means aversion hatred ill will and holding a grudge
tanaraga ဆိုတာလူချင်းနစ်သက်တက်မဲ့တွေ့တာတဲ့သဘောရှိတယ
် tanha raga this means craving lust attachment
ဒေါသအကန္တကတော့စိတ်ဆိုးစိတ်ပြက်စိတ်ညစ်တတ်တဲ့သဘောရှိတယ
် and dosa agata this means aversion ill will enmity holding a grudge
ထို2မျိုးထဲမှာတဏှာရာဂကအနည်းရန်သူဖြစ်တယ
် among these two kinds tanha raga desire and lust is called the near enemy
ဒေါသအာဃာတကအဝေးရန်သူဖြစ်တယ
်ဒေါသအာဃာတ aversion grudge this is called the far enemy of metta
အဝေးရန်သူထက်အနည်းရန်သူကပိုပြီးကြောက်စရာကောင်းတယ
် so the near enemy of metta is more frightening than the far enemy
အဝေးရန်သူဖြစ်တဲ့ဒေါသအာဃာတဖြစ်လာရင်လွယ်ကူစွာသိနိုင်တယ
် when the far enemy of metta appears which is dosa agata aversion holding a grudge this is easy to recognize
ဘယ်ကြောင့်လို့ဆိုရင်ဒေါသအာဃာတဖြစ်လာရင်စေယောကိုယောကြံထံကထံလာတယ
် It's easy to recognize because when there is dosa, agata, aversion, grudge, this is very obvious in the body and the mind. It's rough and harsh.
စိတ်ထဲမှာလည်းပြင်းစွာပူလောင်ပြီးတော့လာတယ
် And it makes the mind hot and burning.
ဒီတော့မေတ္တာယောဂီကဒေါသအဝေးရန်သူဖြစ်လာပြီလို့သူသိတယ
် So in this way a metta meditator will recognize when the far enemy of dosa aversion agata holding a grudge has arisen
အနည်းရန်သူဖြစ်တဲ့တဏှာရာဂဝင်လာရင်သိဖို့ရခက်ခဲတယ
် When the near enemy enters the mind desire and lust this is more difficult to recognize
ဘယ်ကြောင့်ဆိုတော့တဏှာရာဂကနူးညံ့သိမ်မွေ့တယ်မေတ္တာရောဆောင်တတ်တယ
် and this is so because tanha raga craving or desire and lust this is quite subtle and it can appear as being metta
ပညာရှိတွေတောင်းမှတတိမတရတဏှာရာဂကိုမေတ္တာလို့ထင်တတ်တယ
် even those who are learned they can mistake the tanha raga for metta
အမှန်တကယ်ကမေတ္တာနဲ့တဏှာရာဂဟာသဘောထားချင်းမတူပါဘူ
း however the nature of metta loving kindness and tanha raga desire and lust it's not the same they differ
tanha raga ga nikat dwada dat de tabor shi de
tanha raga desire and lust has the nature of clinging attachment
kun lo nai zwan ma shi u
and it has the nature of not being forgiving it's also burning and causing suffering
metta ga nikat dwada mu ma shi u
metta loving kindness however has not or there is no attachment and clinging in metta. And metta has also the nature of being forgiving. Metta is cool and peaceful. In regard to this, Sayadaw will relate the story of the son of a minister. A long time ago, on the island of Sri Lanka, there lived a minister who had a son. And this son, an adult son, he was interested in practicing metta meditation. And this man, he kept the uposatha precepts on every observance day.
And
on one uposatha day, a monk on arms round came by in front of his house. And the man told this monk that today he was observing the observance day. And he also asked or told the monk, today I want to engage in the practice of metta meditation. How should I practice metta meditation? And so then the monk advised or said, well, to cultivate metta is easy. Simply start to cultivate metta for a beloved person. And so then the man asked himself, who is my most beloved person? Who is my most dear person? And he decided or he realized that it was his wife who was his most beloved person. And so then with that, the man started to cultivate metta, starting to repeat the metta wishes like, may my beloved one, may my wife be well, happy and peaceful, may she be free from mental suffering, may she be free from physical suffering, may all aspects of her life be fulfilled. And in this way, he practiced the metta meditation, and then it was getting evening, getting night. And because he was observing the uposatha day, keeping the uposatha precepts, he was sleeping in a separate room. So after having gone into his room, he continued with the practice of metta meditation for his beloved wife. So he continued to wish, may my dear one, may my beloved wife be well, happy and peaceful. May she be free from mental suffering. May she be free from physical suffering. May all aspects of her life be fulfilled, and so on. As he was cultivating metta in this way, actually, it was not metta that arose in his mind, but it was tanha raga that arose, desire and lust. However, this man didn't realize that it was tanha raga, desire and lust. He thought that this was metta, loving kindness. And as he continued to practice, so the more he practiced, the stronger his desire and lust became. And so, with this strong desire and lust, finally the man got up and went to knock on the door of the room where his wife was sleeping. He knocked the doors many times. Although he knocked on the door many, many times, the wife didn't open, and finally he was banging his head against the door. So when we look at this story, at this incident, we can notice that the man, he thought that he was cultivating metta, but he didn't notice that it was actually not metta, but that it was tanha and raga, that it was desire and lust.
And
this resulted in experiencing worry and mental suffering for this man. So we should remember this from this story. And so, as we engage in the cultivation of metta, we must be careful that tanha and raga, desire and lust, does not invade the mind. And if it does, we have to let go of it, abandon it. And we also should notice that when there is hope or expectation or the desire for a certain result in our practice of metta meditation, then this is a sign that there is tanha and raga, desire and lust. Or when we notice that there is liking and attachment in regard of the person who is our object of metta meditation, then we can then this is also not metta but tanha raga, desire and lust. And we also have to be careful when we cultivate metta meditation that the mind does not go to the side of dosa and agata, to the side of aversion, ill will, or holding a grudge.
Yagu, adi lo metta bore gama, wani nemyu si de jao, pyo pya au me.
And now Sayadaw will talk about the two ways in which we can cultivate metta meditation.
Adi nemyu ga, namate ga, metta se phi yo, kuzo ya yo bore ni.
The first way of cultivating metta is to simply cultivate the quality of metta as a way of establishing a wholesome state of mind. And the second way of cultivating metta is the cultivation of metta in order to attain the jhanas, the absorptions.
Metta se phit yo kuso ya aw bwa de ni so da a mya tu nga bwa ni ja de metta bwa ni ko su lo ba de.
So the first way of cultivating metta, namely to cultivate loving kindness, just to cultivate this quality and to have a wholesome state of mind, this is what generally most of the people do.
Upama to aim dwe ma ni a long tattwa ri chan ma ja ba si chan na ja ba si ku sin ye kin ya ba si sit sin ye kin ya ba si.
For example, you know, when we cultivate metta in this way, wishing may all in this house be well, happy and peaceful, may they be free from mental suffering, may they be free from physical suffering.
To myo dwe ma ni a long tattwa ri chan ma ja ba si chan na ja ba si ku sin ye kin ya ba si sit sin ye kin ya ba si asada ya ya sin pye ja ba si lo bwa de ni mya ni lo.
Or else, when we cultivate metta in this way, may all living beings in this town be well, happy and peaceful. May they be free from mental suffering. May they be free from physical suffering. May all their aspects be fulfilled. Or else, it can be cultivated by reciting the Metta Sutta. Or else, metta can be cultivated by reciting metta verses or metta chants. So this is the method of cultivating metta in order to cultivate this mental state of metta and to dwell in a wholesome state of mind. Then the other method of cultivating metta is to cultivate metta in order to reach the jhanas, the absorptions. And this method is explained in the Visuddhimagga, a commentary to the Buddhist scriptures. In the Visuddhimagga, it is said, those people who wish to cultivate metta in order to attain the jhanas, first of all, they should take up or keep the precepts.
Now, metta ye adibere the bodhabhava re.
And then to reflect on the nature or the spirit of metta. Then to reflect on the dangers and shortcomings of dosa, aversion, anger, ill will.
And
then to wear clean clothes, not smelly clothes. And one should choose a quiet place
အဲ့ဒီနောက်ပထမဆုံးမိမိကိုယ်ကိုမေတ္တာစပြီးပွားရမယ
် And then first of all one should cultivate metta for oneself
မိမိကိုယ်ကိုမေတ္တာပွားတာကတော့ကိုချင်းစာတရားဖြစ်ပေါ်လာအောင်ပွားရတယ်လို့ဉာဏ်ကပြောတယ
် And to cultivate metta for oneself is to understand that this wishis also there in other beings. So it's to establish empathy with other beings. And therefore, it is said that one does not need to cultivate metta for oneself for a long time. And then the next step is to cultivate metta for a respected person. So to cultivate metta for a respected person means a person whom we respect or a benefactor. This can be a teacher or it can be one's parents or maybe...siblings.
And the genuine rebogu, Meta boy and all, Meta the Mari, Engong Agong Piao, Meta Zandi, Pilaundi, Boyame.
So then, one is cultivating Meta for a benefactor, a respected person, and one has to cultivate it until the power of Meta becomes very strong and the concentration becomes very deep, meaning.Until one attains the jhana, the absorption.
And then, Tatiya Nene, Mimine Alun Alun Jindide, Maitreyu Metta Bwayame.
And then the next step, the third step, is to cultivate Metta for a very close, a very dear person, a very close friend.
Maitreyu Metta Bwarole, Metta Tamaride Agong Lao Zanya Laondi.
And also here, one has to cultivate the metta until the metta concentration becomes very deep until one reaches the jhanas, the absorption. And then the next step, the fourth step, is to cultivate metta for an ordinary friend.And also here, one cultivates metta for this person until the metta jhana is attained.
And
then the next step, fifth step, is to cultivate metta for a person we hate.We dislike an enemy.
And
also here, one has to cultivate the metta as long as it takes to reach the metta jhana, the absorption based on the metta practice.
The yandu bogo, kumona bogo, metta bware kamaro.
When one is cultivating metta for such a difficult person, for an enemy, then this can be challenging. However, before coming to this person,One has already cultivated metta for other persons from these other categories. And by doing this, the power of metta has already become quite strong. And so then taking an enemy, a person one hates, it's not so difficult anymore to cultivate metta for this person.
Metta bwa lo ma phit bu, bwa da ka ka phit ni de so yin no.
And
ရှေ့ရပုဂ္ဂိုလ်တွေကိုပြန်ပြီးပွားရတယ်
။ However, if for any case one cannot cultivate metta for this kind of person when one is struggling, then one can go back to a person for whom it's easy to cultivate metta.
ဥပမာဆရာသမားကိုမေတ္တာပွားဆရာကျမ်းမာပါစေချမ်းသာပါစေဆရာကျမ်းမာပါစေချမ်းသာပါစေเนี่ยဒီလိုပွားလို့မေတ္တာတွေအကောင်းလာပြီဆိုတဲ့အခါကျမှကိုရန်သူကိုပြန်ပြီးပွားရမယ
် So for example one can go back to a teacher for whom it was easy to cultivate metta and cultivate metta for the teacher may my teacher be well happy and peacefulMay my teacher be well, happy, and peaceful, and so on. So staying with this teacher until the metta is established again and until it becomes strong and powerful. And so then one goes back to the difficult person, to the hated person, to the enemy. And in this way, it should be possible to continue with this enemy and finally also reach the metta jhana, the absorption based on the metta practice.
Adiloniya bien, metta khaunti yaodhi metta hu bhava.
And so in this way, may you be able to do your metta practice until you reach the top of this practice.
Metta khaunti, khaunti metta sura, di mimi gogo yo siyadamari, nao yandu boguri, alung tantawari boma, tatare yandu yirule matino u, meiswe yirule matino au, tatare piyo metta u buwara.
So to reach the top of the metta practice, this means that you are able to cultivate the metta equally for all people, for all living beings, so that there is no more distinction between me and a teacher or an enemy, but that the metta is equally strong.For all these different people, for all these different living beings.
And the Buddha Jnanabhin, Metta Zanni Yalu, Metta Ya Kongyu Chanda Pshabhyariu, Yashi Nanyade, Turokong Metta Yogimya, Pshinanyabhazi.
So may all of you, by continuing with this practice, become virtuous people, being endowed with the quality of Metta.May also attaining the metta jhanas, and may you all experience the benefits of this practice.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Not the same thing, really.
So we will meet again next time, Sayadaw says.
Okay.
Din up here.
ဘူးရဆရာလေးဖေကတွေ့လားမတွေ့ဘူးနော်ဒီရ
ခုတ်ဟိုတိပဲကလာပ
ါဆရာလေးဖေ
အခုပြောပ
ါနေကောင်းလားဖေ
ကျမ်းမာပါစေ
ကျမ်းမာပါစေချမ်းသာပါစေဖေအ
ာဖေဒစနေဖေပါစေဖေ
ပါပါဖေ
စေလေ
မမဖေ
ချမ်းသာပါစေချမ်းမြေပါစေ Twitch I am မတ်တာပါ
လေမမဖေတွေ့ကျင်ပါလေဖေဒီကိုမလာတော့ဘူးလား
လာမှာလာ
ဩမမ
မတိပါဘူးဖ
ေဩမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမ
မမမမမမမမမမ
မမမမမမမမ
မမမမမမမ
မမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမ
မမမမမ
မမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမမ
So now we have time to practice. Not before I say hello to Mimi.
Not now.
Mimi chanda baze chemi baze.
You too.
So today, as you might guess, might have already guessed, we'll move on to the next category.And to the next potential enemy that Saida was talking about. He briefly began to describe how, as the metta develops, we purify the heart and minds and form. So the near enemy we've already been dealing with the dear friend, beloved people. Today, taking up metta.As Saida said, it's much easier to see than the near enemy. It's much easier to be aware that this state of mind has arisen. So in some respects, this category is easier, less confusing than some of the previous categories, where we might not be aware we're not cultivating that. But when dosa arises, it's really...obvious, and the suffering is really obvious. And as Saito said, anytime we're not cultivating metta, when we're cultivating an unwholesome mind state, whether it be the near enemy or the far enemy, suffering follows. This is said so beautifully in the second verse of the Dhammapada.Where the Buddha says, basically, if we are cultivating unwholesome states, suffering will follow as the wheel follows the hoof of the ox. And in Pinsar, where Ariya and Saito are, there are still ox carts going by every day. And you can hear them squeaking, the wheels squeak, hurry, hurry, hurry. And this is actually...the root meaning of dukkha, not fitting well, not smoothly fitting together. So there is this irritating sound, or an irritating feeling, more, sometimes more than irritating, sometimes really very unpleasant. So dosa can arise in this category.Of the difficult person. In the Visuddhimagga, it mentions not the difficult person, but the word that's used is the enemy, which is really very dramatic. And of course, it's also very common that we've all been waiting for this category because there's somebody in our life we want to, you know, smooth out the relationship. We want to be able to relate to them better. So we immediately go to the enemy, the most difficult person, the person that's causing us trouble in our life, or who has caused us trouble, and we're still holding resentment about. And eventually, yes, that we get there. But, and I can't say this enough, but please don't start there. Beginning this category, as with all mental practice, where it is relatively easy. This is so important and so hard to hear. Because we can think, oh, well, she doesn't mean me. Or we may just assume that without even knowing or thinking it. Or we just want to anyway. But really, start where it's easy. With the difficult person, the enemy. And often what this means, what this looks like, what this easy, difficult person, such a paradox, looks like, is someone who, for us, brings up a little irritation. For no particular reason that's important. So, on a retreat, when we're on a retreat in person, it's easy to find people like this. Somebody who breathes too hard, somebody whose socks we don't like, somebody who opens a window and makes too much noise, somebody who chews too loudly, somebody who's always the first person in the meal line, and it goes on and on and on. These people who we find a little annoying. Not because they're doing anything particularly bad to us, or actually to anybody, but it just irritates us. So I like to call the easy, difficult person the irritating person. This is the dosa that's arising is directed from us to that person, not the other way around. Those people are harder when there's a real enemy and people are actually harming us. So don't go to the hard people first. You have time with this category. Please stay where it's easy. And choosing somebody you find mildly annoying for some reason that doesn't have to have any sense to it. It can be completely random and nonsensical, but there it is. Maybe they talk too much. Maybe, no, who knows what? I mean, the possibilities are endless. One particular person I would not choose at first in this category is a difficult neighbor. Neighbors are really hard, or they can be very difficult, because. So don't choose a difficult neighbor. Choose somebody who's easier than that. somebody who's just mildly in the vision. And then in the very same way as we've done before, connecting with this person, which means, as Saito said, we, based on our metta for ourselves and that direct experience of kindness and wanting to be happy. That direct experience of, well, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be peaceful. Understanding by way of inference, well, I'm a human being, so are they. I want to be happy, they must want to be happy also. And they're just trying to be happy. Even if I don't understand how they're doing that or why they're doing that. So connecting with this person with that empathetic bridge of understanding common humanity, common beingness. It also helps with this mildly irritating person if we don't really have a deep story with them or any story at all. That's why people on retreat can be very useful, because we might not even know them. We just don't like their something. The sound they're making, or the way they breathe, or that they like the window open or closed. That kind of thing. So taking a moment to reflect about who this person will be for you today. And when you're ready, closing your eyes. Connecting with simple, friendly presence with yourself. And beginning to radiate loving kindness for a person who is easy for about 5 minutes. We'll do this in silence. And whoever that person is, whether it's yourself, or a benefactor, or a dear friend, or a neither loved nor hated person, And now moving on to the relatively easy, difficult person, the annoying person, whoever that is. Bringing them to heart and mind with either an image or a felt sense. And you don't need to be too close to this person. They can be on the other side of the street. But bringing them to mind, however it's easiest. And using the same phrase as you have been using, begin to incline to the kind wishes for this person as a living being, as a fellow living being that we share this fragile earth with. Patiently and repeatedly connecting with this wish, with the phrase, planting that seed of kindness. Again and again, inclining in this direction, even if the far enemy of metta, irritation, resistance, ill will, even if these arise, just keep putting them aside and inclining again to kindness and well-wishing. And if at any time you feel overwhelmed with these difficult mind states, please feel completely free to go back again to where it's easy. Staying there as long as you need to for the momentum of the well-wishing to be re-established. And then going again back to the annoying person. Back and forth as you need to. So moment to moment, continuing in the silence, to incline the heart to kindness, no matter what. Anyway, each moment planting a seed of metta.
Thank you.
So thank you for your practice, everybody. This particular category brings a lot of light into the world. So staying in your formal sitting and your formal walking with this mildly difficult person, this annoying person, and in your general activities as you have done before, really feeling confident to open the metta practice up into a much more fluid and responsive practice, responsive to your specific conditions, moment to moment, responding to beings who are in your vicinity, moment to moment, regardless of what category you fall into. I really like that practice. It brings the metta practice into our daily life in such a wonderful, tangible cultivation of kindness. And we're being patient with the mind, particularly in this category. But you've been cultivating loving kindness for an either loved or hated person, someone you don't have a lot of connection with. That does increase the capacity to have an empathetic bridge with another person who it's hard to connect with. So you have that as a basis. And now this irritating person, not forgetting, but always remembering, oh, just like me, this person wants to be happy. And one particular reflection that's very helpful, if the mind is really super annoyed about something, remembering that we have also been irritating people for others. So just like I have been irritating to others, so this person is irritating me. So that kind of brings the whole thing alive. It's like, oh yeah, okay, I know that. May they be happy anyway. Yeah. May we both be happy. So thank you for your practice. And I'm going to turn you over now to Aria for the questions and answers, as well as the chanting.
Thank you. And I want to begin with putting forth a question that may have arisen in your mind. Something in regard to what Sayadaw has said in his talk, when he outlined the different categories of people, of living beings, to cultivate the metaphor. He has used the term to cultivate it for an ordinary friend. You know, after the dear person, the close person, he then said the next step, the next category is the ordinary friend. And Ayaviranyani and myself, we have used the term neither loved nor hated, or neutral person. So this is the same, you know, Sayadaw was referring to the same kind of people, so that this is clear. And now, other questions, your questions, please.
Maria, I have a question. It's about the difference between saying, may someone be happy and well, and saying, may they be free of all mental suffering, and may they be free of all physical suffering. And it's, I understand the theory, and I have a sense in my own practice that sometimes one version works better for me than the other, but I've never actually heard anyone speak about this difference, so I'd be very interested to hear your views.
Thank you, Leslie, for this question. Yeah, which is a good question. So, you know, as we have heard many times, as you know, metta is the wish for the welfare and happiness, the well-being of living beings. And, you know, this can be expressed in many different ways. We can look, you know, from this angle, we can look at this from that angle and express it. So, you know, one way is to say, may they be well, happy and peaceful. Another way is, may they be free from mental suffering, may they be free from physical suffering. And, you know, as you say, actually, you know, at certain times, one way of picking the phrase is different from another time. Like, sometimes it's much more conducive and we much can connect much easier to may they be free from mental suffering, may they be free from physical suffering. Another time we connect much more to may they be well, happy and peaceful. So, you know, there is no right or wrong in regard to these phrases, but here we can experiment. And here we can see what is most helpful, most suitable for us right now in the practice. We might also notice that, you know, may they be well, happy and peaceful. This is kind of quite general. The phrase or the wish, may they be free from mental and physical suffering, this is already a bit more specific. And also knowing the other Brahma Viharas, we can see that the wish may they be free from mental and physical suffering is already going towards compassion, karuna, which, you know, is that connecting to the suffering of others and the wish they may be free from this suffering. But as we also know, you know, metta is kind of like the umbrella above all the Brahma Viharas. Just this very general wish for them to be happy and well, free from suffering, and so on. Karuna is more specific. You know, it's like the metta directed towards a person who experiences some kind of suffering. And so then with that the wish, may they be free from the suffering. And mudita is also a more specific form of metta in that it is directed to people, to living beings who are doing well, who are really happy, who are successful, who are healthy. So if you understand this, then, you know, you can use the phrase, may they be free from mental and physical suffering for the metta practice. Or else, you know, you might decide to do karuna practice, may they be free from physical and mental suffering. You know, different perspectives. Does that answer your question, or?
Yes, of course, it's very valuable. I would like to say something else, unless someone else wants to. I can't see a hand up. When I was first taught metta and did intensive metta, it was with Michelle McDonald, and I remember then, I presume it was Michelle, but it may have been someone else, speaking about the "May I Be Free," as, you know, it was Michelle, an expression of a desire for enlightenment, whereas I hear the "May I be well, health, happy and peaceful" as much more relative. So I wonder if you have time to comment on that as well. Thank you.
Just to make sure, when you say, you know, just the wish, "May I be free," so that's just that wish.
Sorry, I didn't understand what you were saying.
Right. So you mentioned that was Michelle McDonald, you know, saying that the wish or the phrase, "May I be free."
I guess that's where the emphasis or the inclination towards liberation comes. And so the metta practice was presented to me as being an expression of a desire for liberation, not as a more relative practice for happiness,
right?
Relative happiness.
Right. Well, you see, metta as being this altruistic state of mind, wanting all beings to be happy, well, free from suffering, and so on. So this is different from the wish to become fully liberated. And I just try to recall a place in the scriptures where the metta is presented as the wish to become free, to become enlightened. Directly, I cannot see or I cannot recall such a place in the scriptures, but, you know, based on the metta practice, eventually one attains liberation, one becomes completely free. So I would not use a wish, "May I be free," like "May I be liberated," "May I be enlightened," as a phrase for metta practice.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. A little addition to this is, as we have said, you know, a genuine, pure metta wish has no agenda for any result. Is there another question?
If there's... Aria, I have a little question.
Yes, please, Olivia.
Yeah, it's about the chanting in the sharing of blessings. There's one reference that I don't understand. So it says, "May they soon attain the threefold bliss."
Yes.
What's the threefold bliss?
As far as I remember, it's the threefold bliss of the happiness in the human realm, the happiness in the Deva realms, and the happiness of Nibbana, or the bliss of these realms.
Can I have a short question?
Yes, Michelle.
I've been experiencing this time that when I do metta, because I was doing sayado and it was just kind of really easy, and I felt like maybe I just don't care enough that it's so easy. Like, it's just I'm walking and it's just repeating and there is nothing. And then with other people, I'm choosing different people and it's kind of easier. Is that like how the metta is supposed to be easy, or am I just not doing it right? Because normally it was always more focused and more difficult and I was more present, but now it's just like I'm walking, I'm doing things and it is flowing, and it almost seems like I don't care enough. Or it's just my question, if it's supposed to be that easy or something's wrong.
I think nothing is wrong with your practice, and you know, as you have been cultivating metta for a long time, for many years attending these metta retreats, you know, now we are reaping the fruits of this practice, that, you know, it becomes easy, flowing. And of course, you know, you may always, again, you know, just check in if you're really connected to this wish, if it's a heartfelt wish coming from the bottom of your heart. And when you can say yes, then don't worry.
Okay, cool. Because I thought it's like, you know, maybe I'm just not present enough. I don't do it in the way. Because I always thought it needs to be focused. It needs to be like, you know, more effort into it. So maybe I was just putting too much effort and I was suffering because of that in the past. Maybe that helps somebody else. That's why I'm saying it here.
Yes, thank you, Michelle, for sharing this.
Thank you.
So then with this, I want to go on with the metta chants. And I want to begin with the Burmese metta chant on page 2. We do it 3 times, and we also add the sharing of merits, which we will do 3 times. Let's start. Alon tatavadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi gosiyagin chabasi seisiyagin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi alon tatavadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi gosiyagin chabasi seisiyagin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi alon tatavadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi gosiyagin chabasi seisiyagin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi ahmiya 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 yuta mocha pakolo sadu 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 ahmiya 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 yuta mocha pakolo sadu 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 ahmiya 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 yuta mocha pakolo sadu sadu sadu. Then let's go to page 5. It's the metta in deed, speech, and thoughts. We'll begin. Whenever your action is suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your speech is suffused with metta, speaking words that are sweet, beneficial, and pleasing to hear, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. Whenever your thoughts are suffused with metta, you will be treated with respect and kindness, forever remembered with gratitude, living harmoniously and in unity, at peace with yourself and the world. And we will finish with the Metta Karuna Mudita Upekha. You have the words on page 6. So you can chant along, or do the second group, or invent another melody, another harmony. Then we begin.
Metta karuna mudita upekha. 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 Metta karuna mudita upekha.
So today there will be again interview groups. Group A is with Aya Viranyani, and I suppose in 5 minutes from now. And group D, Dora, is with me in 15 minutes from now.
And I have very little battery left. I don't know why it's dropping so quickly. It started at 100% an hour ago. So I'm going to stop this meeting now and open it up on my phone. So those of you who are in group A, please just log out and log back in. Thank you.
May we all have an easeful practice and we see each other again, if not in the interview groups, tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.